there are a handful of classic movie scenes, those iconic, memorable moments we just love. I'm thinking in particular of the scene where our hero or our heroine enters at the top of a grand staircase. People turn their attention upward. The room fades into shadow as the light coalesces around the star and the music swells. We know this is a moment filled with portent. A threshold has been crossed. Something is about to happen. It's one way to describe Jesus' baptism. A threshold moment. Something is about to happen. Up until now, Matthew's gospel has focused on the birth of Jesus, emphasizing his lineage and his connections to both Abraham and King David. The gospel writer also conveys the extraordinary circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth, which carry echoes of Moses' story and claim the Christ child as the long-awaited Messiah of prophecy. Jesus represents, for Matthew, King David, Moses, and the Messiah all rolled into one. And now at his baptism, the light of Epiphany shines through the voice of heaven, which declares, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Those who compiled the Revised Common Lectionary back in the late 20th century paired today's gospel reading with this passage I read from Isaiah, well, the passage Elizabeth read from Isaiah, because Isaiah's prophecy points to the Messiah. And Matthew wants us to have no doubts about what Jesus' ministry will look like. If Jesus' life story were being told in an epic Hollywood movie, as he stood at the top of the grand staircase, the band would start to play and the lead singer might intone these words from Isaiah. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. See, the former things have taken place and new things I now declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." And then, stepping forward from this threshold, Jesus begins a ministry of revealing God's love and grace to the world. But baptism must come first, a baptism John was reluctant to perform. "I need to be baptized by you," John says. "Do you come to me?" And Jesus answers, perhaps a little cryptically, "It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Now, for John and for Jesus, both raised in Jewish tradition, righteousness has to do with right relationship. John's baptism is a call to repentance, a preparatory step in restoring one's relationship with God. The faithful frequently used this ritual cleansing, this baptism, as a symbol of repentance for sin and getting back on track. So in other words, John's baptism could help one come into right relationship with God once again. I see two epiphanies in this baptismal moment, two revelations for us today. First, Jesus' baptism reveals that he is Emmanuel, God with us. While scripture declares Jesus to be the sinless one who is always in right relationship with God, Jesus says it's necessary for him to be baptized in order for him to stand with humanity in our brokenness. And secondly, Jesus' baptism reinforces the partnership between God and humankind. Jesus didn't need John's baptism, but Jesus allowed John to use his gifts and embrace his prophetic calling. It's a reminder to me that God calls us and empowers us, all of us less than perfect human beings, to share godly love and compassion to one another. On the eve of our nation's celebration of the birth of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., it seems fitting to talk about how God gifts us and empowers us to be agents of love and compassion. Dr. King spoke of building the beloved community where every person was cared for, where the evils of hunger and poverty and hate no longer dwelt. It was his dream. one that we dreamed with him, one that he did not live to see come true. It remains the dream and the hope of us who follow Jesus, who claim the name of Christian given to us at our baptism. Now, what we don't see in this gospel passage is the call for every Christ follower to be baptized. We find that at the end of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus issues the great commission to his followers to go into the world and preach and teach and baptize in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Christian church claims baptism as a threshold for all of us. Now, if like me, you were baptized as an infant, then maybe baptism doesn't really feel like your threshold. Maybe the day you were confirmed in the church does. Or maybe you felt like you crossed a threshold on a day when we have reaffirmed our baptismal vows, or maybe at a covenant renewal service. Maybe it happened during a particular worship moment, during communion or a prayer response. Maybe it was a call into a ministry or a mission. I believe every one of us has had more than one threshold moment in our faith journey. Maybe there was no brilliant light, no orchestra score that accompanied it, but surely there was a nudge, a glimmer, a voice that pulled us forward, encouraging us to make or to remake those promises to love God and love neighbor with all our being. At baptism, at confirmation, when joining a church or renewing our vows, the words of our covenant affirm this. We reject the evil powers of the world. We resist injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. We trust wholly in the grace of Jesus the Christ. We embrace the gift of the Holy Spirit, making us over into new creations. But that's not the end for us any more than it was the end for Jesus. In fact, it is the beginning. The Talmud, which is the rabbinic interpretation of Hebrew scripture and dates from the 2nd to the 5th centuries, reminds us of the task that God has given to the world. Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. So put yourself into the picture. Imagine yourself at the top of the grand staircase. As you cross this threshold, what steps will you take to share godly love and compassion? How will you work to build beloved community where you are? How will you, like Miss Rumpius, make the world more beautiful? Because beloved children of God, that is in fact our task. Amen.